Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, May the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this day in the presence of the Lord, offering ourselves for consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Put Your Leaders to the Test. Our text is 1 John chapter 4, into a new chapter now, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is coming, and he is already in the world now. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. If there's one thing we can say about a false prophet, it's that he or she doesn't wear a t-shirt that says false prophet. In other words, false prophets can be difficult to spot. A bogus prophet or a deceptive teacher often presents a slightly gray-shaded version of the truth, rather than a glaring error anyone can spot. False prophets often come across with a strong sense of authority. In fact, their teaching can seem so reasonable and even compelling that it seems they carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why John warns us to, quote, test the spirits. Note that he's not telling us to trust our guts or our instincts or our sense of discernment or what other authorities may or may not say. John gives us a far more objective criterion. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. It all comes back to Jesus. Jesus is the truth. If we don't comprehend and confess the truth about the truth, we are sitting ducks for false teachers. Hear me out here. This is not about saying the right words or saying the words right. False teachers play fast and loose with the meaning of words. False teaching, or heresy, always comes back to a distortion of the truth about Jesus. Some time ago, I was in a church where a New Testament scholar was invited to teach. She was brilliant and compelling and exceedingly coherent in her teaching. She had given her life to the study of Jesus of Nazareth. I wondered, however, whether she had given her life to him. From her teaching, I couldn't quite tell if she were Jewish or a Christian or some version of both. And certainly both of which are fine. many Messianic Jews in our midst. After her message, the pastor graciously opened the floor for questions. The people, generous in their response, marveled at her interpretations of certain passages of Scripture they had never understood before. It amazed me how ready they were to completely buy her version of Jesus based on her academic credentials. I sensed the Holy Spirit moving me to ask a question. And not just any question, but the question. I didn't want to do it, but I was compelled to raise my hand. When the microphone came my way, I stood and, in as kind and a gracious manner as I could, I posed this question. Do you believe God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? She answered, no. In my lawyerly mind, I thought, no further questions, and I sat down. I respect her for her honesty. I admire her devotion to the study of the New Testament. I am certain I could learn many true things from her about Jesus of Nazareth. But as far as I'm concerned, no matter how much she knows about the New Testament, her inability to confess Jesus Christ as risen from the dead effectively disqualifies her as a teacher of the church. While I'm certain she's not a charlatan or a dishonest person, I believe her teaching was false. John, in essence, tells us that when it comes to false teachers, don't walk, run. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we can't have a think and let think mentality. When the central truth of the gospel is even a shade off center, the circumference of the message will be cloaked in shadows and the consequences will be catastrophic. It's why we need to put our would-be teachers on the proverbial witness stand and kindly, graciously, with the love of God, literally ask them what they believe about Jesus. Something like this: do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God? God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. That's one question. Do you believe he was born of the Virgin Mary? Suffered under Pontius Pilate? Was crucified, dead, and buried? Do you believe that on the third day he arose from the dead? Bodily, physically, not a spirit. Do you believe he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Do you believe that from there he will come to judge the living and the dead? After this, we must press in further and make certain of what they mean when they say he was raised from the dead. Was it a spiritual resurrection or a bodily resurrection? Is this a metaphor or a historical fact? This is how we test the spirits. I don't want to bully anyone with my own strong-armed sense of certainty, but I make no apology for wanting an overabundance of clarity on these matters. Something tells me John would agree. Something tells me you agree too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the clarity of your life. And thank you for insisting that we be clear about it. Grant us the discernment of the Holy Spirit to test the spirits and the courage to run from false teaching and teachers. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. And for our journal prompts today, are you clear on the central and core truths concerning our Lord Jesus Christ? Are your present leaders and teachers clear on this? How might you graciously discern this? We're going to sing in just a minute one of the stalwart greatest hymns of all time. It's The Church's One Foundation. It's number 388 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise, 388. If you want to get that page held, we'll come back in just a second. We're going to sing it with all we got, and I'm bringing a special guest today. He's not even so much a guest anymore. He's becoming a regular. Yep, my dad. So just hold tight. We're going to get there in a minute, 388. Maybe you heard him. He's already kind of been warming up in the background over there today as I've gone through this entry. But boy, what a story that was. I'll never forget it. It was, you could have heard a pin drop in that room when I asked that question of this quite prestigious, esteemed, renowned professor of the New Testament. And yep, I'm sad to say this professor is at work in a seminary to this day and is training Christian ministers. I don't have time to get into it, but that's kind of the story of theological education, you know, in the 20th century. It just took a massive left turn and completely lost its way. The confidence in the Word of God and so many, you know, ministers in training was absolutely gutted, lost. And of course, the uniqueness and the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the authority of Scripture, so much of the core doctrine of the church was just utterly compromised by false teachers seated in the places of academic authority. I know a number of you pastors listening may have gone to these seminaries, and I know you have been chagrined by it and grieved by it, and God got you through it and probably made your faith stronger as a result of it. But I'm sorry for the assault on your mind and your heart. You don't need to go to seminary and have to defend your faith. I mean, that's college, right? You go to college, get ready. You're going to have to defend your faith. But you go to a seminary to be built up in your most holy faith. That's what the church needs from its leaders and pastors. And yeah, if you're looking for a good seminary, I got some recommendations. You let me know. Well, I think it's time to sing. And I mean, there's a lot more to be said about this. And it's just, we've got to get settled on the core doctrine of the church. And we got to stand firm on it. And we got to run the race. And that's what we're trying to do. So don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. It's not easy. It's not popular. But the alternative is far worse, being led down a false trail. All right. Are you ready to sing? We're going to sing The Church's One Foundation, number 388.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and saw her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food. And to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high will dwell with thee.
Amen. Good singing, Dad.
Amen, brother.
Well, it's that is one of the great hymns right there. The church is one foundation, guys, and we must ever continue standing firm on it. Let's be full of love. Let's be full of kindness, but let's not waver from the truth. Let's be humble and let's be bold. We confess Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. So, that's a good place to leave it today. It's Wednesday. We're over the hump already, and we're going downhill in a good way. We'll look for you out there on the field today. Get your seeds for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
I'm David Walt.
All right.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.